So this morning we're going to continue on in our Bible characters series and taking a look at what the scriptures have to say concerning this young man Timothy, or perhaps the more formal formal designation, Timotheus. And you need to know that both names appear in the scriptures, Timothy and Timotheus. Timothy appears 7 times in our New Testaments, and Timotheus 17 times as well. The name Timotheus appears in the book of Acts 6 times, and then in a number of the Apostle Paul's epistles, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and the name Timothy, kind of the more common way to say it, appears in 2 Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, obviously, Philemon, and Hebrews. So we're not going to check out each and every one of the references to him, but I would encourage you, if when you get home today, you dig out your concordance and look up all the verses where Timothy is mentioned, and that might be a good word study for you for this day. We're going to look at not all of them, but a few of the significant statements made about Timothy. But first, just a reminder, recall that our first Bible character was, remember? Good King Josiah. Right, good King Josiah. We spent about 4 weeks looking at all of the things that the scriptures say about good King Josiah. 2 Kings 22 and 23, and then 2 Chronicles chapters 34 and 35 gives the story of Josiah. And I hope that you still remember the 3 root character traits of Josiah, the thing that set him apart from all the other kings in Judah in that time frame. 2 Kings 22 verse 2 gives us the 3 root character qualities of Josiah. The verse says, "And he, Josiah, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord." That's number 1. Number 2, he walked in all the way of David his father. And number 3, he turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And so we found that those 3 root characteristics of Josiah is what really helped him to have the kind of rule and reign that he had for the 31 years that he served as king in Judah, in which he tore down, dismantled, and destroyed all of the false idols, the Baals, the Ashtoreths, the gardens that were used to worship all of these false gods. And he worked long and hard in those 31 years of cleansing the nation and bringing them back to the worship of Jehovah God. And he had great success. And the success is to be seen against the backdrop of his own father, who was an evil king, his grandfather Manasseh, who was an evil king. And then after Josiah, none of his sons followed after the Lord, which is a pretty sad situation, but they were all evil and did that which was not right in the sight of the Lord. But Josiah was a great example, and we looked at him and his character as being a good pattern even for us today as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be wanting to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. We should want to follow in all the way. For Josiah, it was his, I think it was 16 great-grandfather David, his forefather. For us, we want to walk in all the way of the Lord Jesus and the things that he has said to us. And he was focused. He didn't turn to the right or to the left. He was just straight on with what was right in the sight of the Lord. And we should be so focused ourselves in our day and age that we would not veer, be distracted, or you know, taken off to any side. We need to follow straight on what the Word of God tells us. The only fault that we saw in good King Josiah was when he entered into battle with the king of Egypt, unprovoked. The king of Egypt was heading further north to battle the Assyrians, but Josiah thought that for some reason he needed to fight the king of Egypt, and when he did so, he got killed in the battle, and that was the end, where he lost his life and was buried back in the city of Jerusalem. So Josiah became a very good example for us of how we need to live our lives even today as Christians. Last week, we looked at the character of Enoch. Yes, Enoch. He lived before the days of the flood. He didn't live as long as some of the other people in that day before the flood. In fact, Enoch's son was Methuselah, who lived the longest of all the patriarchs before the flood. Methuselah lived 969 years. Can you even imagine what that would have been like? 969 years of life on this earth. We realize that as we look through Enoch's life, that Adam was still around when Enoch was born. And I can just imagine the stories that Adam and Eve would have told Enoch and all the grandkids about what it was like in the garden, and even how their grandmother was created and so on. It would have been very interesting around the campfires back in those days. Enoch, we looked at him particularly because the scripture says that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And so in a sense, he was raptured, if you want. The Lord just took him to wherever. We're not told exactly where. We believe it's probably heaven, to be with himself. He is mentioned in the New Testament book of Hebrews with this testimony concerning Enoch. Hebrews 11 verse 5 says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." Right? He pleased God. And so because he walked with the Lord, he pleased the Lord, God took him. And Enoch was only on this earth for 365 years, not as nearly as long as many others, but his life was such an example and so tuned into what God wanted that the Lord just took him. interestingly enough, his son, Methuselah, who lived the longest of all, as we mentioned, 969 years. The day or the year that Methuselah died was the year that the flood came. And Noah, of course, was protected in the ark with his family and all the animals that the Lord brought to him. So Enoch has a great testimony, a blessed character of life, a good pattern for us to emulate in our lives as Christians, to walk with the Lord, to please the Lord in all that we do. So now this morning, for a few moments, let's turn our attention to Timothy, or Timotheus, if you like. Both the name Timothy and Timotheus are translated from the same Greek word. Guess what that is? Timotheus. So Timotheus is in the Greek text, and for 17 times it was translated Timotheus, but 7 times the translators used the word Timothy. In my notes, I have his name down as Tim. I was getting tired of typing out Timotheus all the time, so I just put Tim. But if you remember Rose used to always complain to me whenever I would do that. She would say, the Bible says his name is Timotheus, so don't call him Tim. So I did. I followed Rose's advice. And now she's home with the Lord too. So Timothy, Timotheus, same Greek word. However, I still have to think through the scriptures of why the translators would use Timothy. What was the circumstance in which they used Timothy rather than Timotheus? So I'm sure that there's some reason for that. And we'll work at that throughout this week coming up and see if we can get a good answer to that question. His name, Timotheus, it means, well, before I tell you what it means, Timotheus is made up of two Greek words. Time, which means honor, something which is precious or dear or valuable, time. And then the other term is theos, which is a Greek word that we translate as God, right? So Timotheus means dear to God. Dear to God. Honored by the Lord or precious to the Lord, something like that. Dear to God is what most of the lexicons suggest. So dear Timothy, he is dear to God. And I think we see that reflected in the things that are said about him in our New Testament scriptures. Our first introduction to Timothy is here in Acts chapter 16. So I invite you to have your Bibles open at Acts chapter 16. First five verses. The Apostle Paul is on his second missionary journey. He and Barnabas had kind of a split after the first trip, and they were back in Antioch, and Paul said, I'd like to go back and visit the churches that we started on the first trip, and Barnabas wanted to take Mark with them, if you remember the story, and Paul said, nope, he left us, even as we were just getting started the first trip, we don't need to take him, and yet Barnabas wanted to, because Mark was Barnabas' sister's son. So Paul and Barnabas split, and Barnabas took Mark, and they went west, the island of Cyprus, and then followed that same route. Paul had picked Silas, who had come from Jerusalem to help out with the church in Antioch. He took Silas, and they went kind of east, north, and then west. So they traveled into Syria from Antioch, and then Cilicia. Do you know Cilicia? What's significant about Cilicia? That was Paul's hometown, right? Cilicia of Asia. And so they went in from Antioch, they went kind of north and then up into Syria and then turned west through Asia, which today is called Turkey. So they traveled all that way. And along the way, shortly after getting past Cilicia, they came to the towns of Derbe and Lystra. You can see that in chapter Acts 16 and verse 1. They came to Derbe and Lystra. So this proved, in the course of time and history, to be a very significant and important stop for them. Derbe and Lystra, probably small towns along the way. It was while they were at Derbe and Lystra that they came across a young man named Timotheus. And you can see that also in verse 1. Behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. So, once again, let's look at these first five verses. They came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. What do we learn about Timothy in this first passage in Acts 16? This is our first introduction to Timothy. What do we learn about him? Well, number one, we learn that he was a disciple. He was a disciple, a mathetes is the Greek word, mathetes, a student, a learner. And we suspect that he was a disciple of the Lord Jesus. It just says he was a disciple, but understanding would be that he was a disciple of Christ. Even though he probably never met the Lord Jesus, either personally or physically, when Christ was here on the earth, but the fact that he is a disciple means that somewhere along the line, Timothy was a believer, became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was a Christian, a believer in Christ, and that he was following. He was a student, a learner, a mathetes of the Lord Jesus, and it seems quite involved in churches in his hometown of Lystra and Derbe. In verse 2, we're told that Timothy was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Iconium was kind of the next town after Lystra along that highway. And if you check your maps of Paul's second missionary journey, you can see them. They're quite close together. And it seems to me that they would have known what was going on in each other's place and churches and so on. They were probably very close together. All three towns in close proximity to each other would, I think, in that day, help for them to be encouraged and assured of their faith and trust and salvation and so on. And so the brethren in the churches in Lystra and Iconium spoke well of Timothy, which is interesting. Small towns, everybody knows everybody else and everything else that's going on around with other people, and they all knew Timothy, and they had a good report of him. So, interestingly enough, the phrase "was well reported of" is just one word in the Greek text. It took all those English words to translate this one word. Matureo. Matureo is the Greek word. It means to witness, to testify. And so they all had a good testimony concerning this young man, Timothy. They gave a good report of this young man. And I stop there and I think, well, isn't that something that we all would like to have? To be well reported of by other people? Don't we want to have that other believers would give a good witness and report concerning us before others? Not that we want to have our fame or our name up there, everybody's recognizing, but just that our lives are such that people can give a good testimony concerning us and our service for the Lord Jesus. We don't want to have a bad report, I don't think. And so a good report for Timothy was a real blessing, it seems to me. We don't obviously put fame and popularity, we don't pursue fame and popularity, and whether we are recognized by others or not, we will still serve the Lord, right? With all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. We don't look for accolades, but should a testimony come about of our love for the Lord and our service for Him, that can be a blessing, that can be an encouragement, not for any sense of pride, because we want to be humble before the Lord, but only for a blessing and an encouragement and an impetus to keep on doing it, what we're doing, if people are going to recognize that as a good testimony. So he was a disciple, first thing that we're told. They came across a certain young man. His name was Timotheus. He was a disciple of, we expect, of the Lord Jesus. Second thing that we learn about Timothy here in this passage is the influences that formed in his life. Who were the influences in Timothy's life that brought him to this place where he is a disciple, a believer in Christ, having a good report of the brethren in other churches, other towns? Who influenced him to have all of this? Well, we read that Timothy was the son of a certain woman who was a Jewess. So his mom was a Jew, but it also adds very quickly, she was a Jewess and believed, right? So she, his mom was a believer in Jesus Christ. And I am almost certain that his mom had great influence in young Timothy's life. We're told that his father was a Greek. And interesting how the statement goes. He was the son of a certain woman which was a Jewish and believed, a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. So obviously there was a difference in between mom and dad. Mom was a believer, but it would appear that his father was not a believer in Christ. He was a Greek, and kind of said with a little bit of disdain, I think, maybe. So while the family was mixed, Jew and Gentile, or Greek, there's no indication that there was a conflict in the family, which is always a blessing. But somewhere along the way, I think that mom had a real influence in Timothy's life. So mom was a believer. She was a Jewess, but she was also a believer. And the expected focus of that would be a believer in Christ. We have some additional information about influences in Timothy's life, and especially his mom, in 2 Timothy 1 verse 5. 2 Timothy 1 verse 5. When I read it, I know you will remember it. He said, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, when I call, he said that he's always praying for Timothy. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So here we learn that Timothy, even Timothy's grandmother Lois, was a believer in Christ, and his mom Eunice, we know her name now, and from their influence in young Timothy's life, Timothy became a believer in Christ as well. And I think that what is most important is what mom and grandma used in Tim's life to influence him for Christ. You know what they used? In 2 Timothy 3:14-17, if you want to look at that, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, it says, Paul's writing to Timothy where he says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, I expect Timothy learned a lot under Paul's tutelage. But here, Paul mentions somebody else who had an influence. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known what? The holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. So from a child, Paul says, you have been instructed in the scriptures. By who? By mom and grandma. From a child. The word child here is the Greek word brephos. Brephos is a Greek term that means related to the womb. So it could be a newborn baby, an infant, a young child just born, or even just about to be born. The idea of brephos is related to the womb. And so right from that point in time, you remember that, probably have heard from doctors and others, that the babies in the womb can hear all the stuff that's going on around them. When our kids were still in the womb, we used to read from the Bible. We used to play music for them. Our son Rob, just before he was born, I was still with the Workman Quartet, and we traveled around the Niagara Peninsula area mostly, singing in churches and stuff. I didn't sing, I played my bass guitar. But we were given a small 24-passenger school bus that the guys converted for us to use to travel around in. And this old school bus, I don't think it had very good springs in it, because we would be traveling down the road and it would be bouncing along the road. And Janice used to travel with us all, right up until the time that Rob was born. And some places, some roads that we hit, we were bouncing off the seat. It was such a bumpy road. Well, after Rob was born, we found that we would put him in the crib to go to sleep, and he would fuss. He wouldn't rest. He wouldn't settle. So you know what we learned to do? Put him on his stomach, and we pounded on his butt, bounced him on the bed, and that put him to sleep. And we figured it was because he had been bouncing around in the womb every time we were on that old school bus. So, and still, he's that kind of a guy, just anxious and wants to do this, that, and the other thing. And it was great. So the influence in Timothy's life was through his mom and through his grandma using the scriptures to point him to the way of salvation. It says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And so mom and grandma were great influences in young Timothy's life. And from that we say how we thank the Lord for godly homes, how we thank God for godly moms and grandmas who can faithfully teach God's word, live God's word before their children. A full blessing, I think, would be when dad would also be in the picture as a believer in Christ, but it certainly seems that mom's influence is of the greatest choice in a young person's life. So now when the Apostle Paul came through town and heard about Timothy, he wanted Timothy to go with him on his missionary journey. That's quite a testimony as well of young Timothy's life. The brethren spoke well of him, and Paul says, hey, I want to take that young man with me on my missionary trip. And so the influence in Timothy's life now has, I think, been transferred from his mother and grandmother to the Apostle Paul, who would have tremendous influence in this young man's life. So, thirdly, and this is the last point, Timothy and the Apostle Paul. What do we learn about their relationship together? How has Paul helped young Timothy? What did he think of Timothy when he took him with him? Well, the relationship between the Apostle Paul and Timothy in the scriptures is characterized as like a father and son, right? Father and son in business. We know how businesses sometimes have that title of the company. Well, same thing here with the Apostle Paul. He considered Timothy a son to himself. I'll give you a couple of references to that. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 2, Paul's writing to Timothy and says, "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith," right? "My own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, Jesus Christ our Lord." It's not that Paul led Timothy to the Lord. I think when Paul found Timothy, he was already saved. He was already a disciple. He was already a Christian. But Paul could put great influence into Timothy's life as a son with his father, as they carried on in service for the Lord. "My own son in the faith," he calls him. That's a wonderful relationship. 2 Timothy 1, verse 2, Paul says, "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord." So, my own son in the faith, to the second letter, he says, "My dearly beloved son." Do you think that the Apostle Paul loved Timothy as a father does his son? I think so. It seems clear. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17, Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, says, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." So here he is sending Timotheus, my beloved son, and adds, "and faithful in the Lord." That's a great testimony as well for Timothy, coming from the Apostle Paul. And then just one more. In Philippians 2, verse 22, Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, "But ye know the proof of him," of Timothy, "that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel." Right? So Timothy's got a great testimony, and the influence of the apostle in his life is just overwhelming. I see Timothy as a representative of the Apostle Paul. Right? He has a significant place. Timothy's not an apostle, but he's a representative of the Apostle Paul, such that Paul could send him on various ministry endeavors with complete trust, knowing that Timothy would do a good job, that he would be wise, and that he would understand what the truth might be. And I'll finish with this. The most blessed testimony of the Apostle Paul ever given of Timothy is found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 23. It says this, and we read this a little bit earlier. Philippians chapter 2, he says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may also be of good comfort when I know your state." And then he says, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. And you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently." So that's a great testimony. Timothy, he says, "I've got no other man like-minded, like Timothy, who will naturally care for you and your state. And you know the proof of him. You understand who Timothy is. You've seen him at work and just what kind of a man and a servant he really is. And so he can be trusted to do the work of the Lord." Paul's testimony of Timothy's humble and tender spirit, who sought out the well-being of others instead of himself. "I have no man like-minded. He will naturally care for your state." Timothy was the complete opposite of many others who, Paul says, all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. So that tells us that Timothy was was pursuing the things of Christ for others, right? A true servant of the Lord. Timothy stands out from all the rest. He serves with God and with Paul in the gospel. He was more interested in people knowing the Lord, not himself. And Paul had complete trust in him to send him on a ministry trip without him, without Paul, knowing that Timothy could do a proper job of serving the Lord. What a great testimony there is in the life of this young man, Timothy. A great godly example of humble service for the Lord. And so I say to all of us, let's be like Timothy. Humbled before the Lord, seeking to serve him and him alone, helping others as we are able, but not making a name for ourselves, but that people would know the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him as their Savior and then grow in the things of the Lord. And I say, let's do it every moment of our lives as well, individually and corporately as a church. May we be like Timothy and living our lives today for the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you for the opportunity to study your word this morning. We do certainly thank you for the record that we have in the scriptures of Timothy and just the kind of man he was as a disciple, as a Christian, as a servant, as a son with his spiritual son with his father, Paul, and all the things that he was able to do in service for thyself. We thank you for him. And thank you for giving us these glimpses into his character that we might look at that and say, I'd like to be like that too in my life and in our lives as believers. I pray that you would help us to muse upon the things of your word a little bit more, maybe throughout this day, and just check out those scriptures concerning this man, Timothy. Bless your word to our hearts, we pray this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.